He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And then turn to Acts chapter 1, because Acts is written by Luke. And in chapter 1, Luke just backtracks a little bit the events and explains a conversation Jesus had with his disciples from verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. The captain climbs the steps to receive the trophy. The crowd roar as the trophy is lifted up. The cross and the resurrection are where the victory was won, don't get me wrong. But after 40 days of further proofs and extra evidence, Jesus takes his rightful place, the highest honor. Lifted up, we can rejoice, we can roar. "But I'm a timid little mouse. They're very frightening world." Church, you can roar. You can declare who your Saviour is, who your King and Lord is. And we must do while we have opportunity to do so. I want to think this evening about ascension blessings. As I say, it's 40 days on from Easter on Thursday. I mean, where is the year going? Where is the time going? But as Jesus was about to go, did you notice what he was doing in that reading from Luke 24? He was blessing. While he was blessing them, it says, he left them and was taken up into heaven. In the process, and there's a sense in which just the blessing goes on and on. As he was blessing them there, he continues to bless his people. That's you and me through our faith in the Lord Jesus this evening. So I want to think first of all about the blessing that he gave, and then the blessing that we can give and share in his name. That's where I want to go. I want to spend much more time focusing on our Lord. You'll be glad for that, I'm sure. And I want to start by thinking about first of all the concept of blessing, because perhaps we need to just get hold of this a little bit before we can run with it. God's blessings from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill, subdue, rule." Taking a few words out there, but God in creation speaks those words over what he has made. He speaks those words specifically to man, especially to man. Made in his own image. God's blessings from the beginning. That's not actually the first blessing. There's blessing on the creation itself the fish in the sea and the provision that's in the waters around us. But interestingly, and good for us to stop and ponder and think about this, from the very outset, God is a God who blesses. But what is a blessing? Well, a definition will define it as God's favour and protection. That's one definition. You sometimes hear people speak of blessings in disguise, don't you? Not always easy to see what a blessing is. Although having said that, I'm sure if we went round tonight and I asked you, you know, tell me one way you've been blessed, perhaps you would tell me of family, you'd tell me of the home you live in, you know, the fact that we have transport, the fact that we have food. There are many earthly blessings in that sense. Some things that happen are a blessing in disguise. We don't see, but later on, perhaps we appreciate more. If that had not happened, then this wouldn't have happened, and we can see the greater plans of the Lord. Sometimes we don't, of course, see the greater plans and have to simply trust our way through. Bless you. Bless you. Well, when you've sneezed. Oh, bless you if you do something nice for somebody. It's become, as I say, a kind of almost an empty phrase. Just something that's spoken that fills in a gap that sounds nice. But thankfully, God's blessing, and unsurprisingly, God's blessing, runs much deeper than such earthly expressions. His blessing comes with the backing of his promises of fulfillment and development. God blessed them, said, "Be fruitful and increase, fill, subdue, rule, grow, develop, be what you're supposed to be," is part of God's blessing of his people. How much more so than you and me within his church? Fulfillment and development. I want you to hold on to those words and thoughts around those words and thoughts. Bringing out the best in us and for us in what we go through. God's blessings from the beginning. God's people are blessed by him specifically. I mean, there is a sense in which there is a general blessing around. You know, the sun's shining down on everybody today. There's blessings in that sense, but there's specific blessings. Out at Paglesham this afternoon, we made mention of number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Those words, first of all, were given by the Lord to Moses. And then he passed them on to Aaron, his brother. And then through the priests, the Aaronic priesthood, those words were put upon Israel, upon God's people. A blessing of peace. But more than that, God's presence with them, God's smile upon them, radiantly shining upon them. Again, why? For their good. Their development, fulfillment, to bring out the best in them. You know, as a parent dotes over a child, smiling upon them, just looking over them. That's the picture we should have. God blesses his people. The development and fulfillment are the Lord's chief concern. Hear this evening. He is totally committed to them, totally committed to you in this way, to develop and fulfill more of the life of the Lord Jesus in you than you've ever known before, to bring out the best in you. And so it goes on in Numbers chapter 6, verse 27, to say, so they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. The blessing of God's people. Are you a Christian? You bear the name of Christ. His name upon our lips, upon who we are, what we do. That's blessing, great blessing that comes. Yes, troubles, persecutions even in places, but the blessings of belonging to the Lord Jesus for time and for eternity are wonderful, aren't they? So God's people bear his name. They know the blessings. But when you read Scripture and a bit more widely, you notice it's not just God that blesses his creation and then blesses his people, but actually the people within God's people bless each other. God's people's blessings upon one another. And for example, you have Jacob blessing Judah. Remember the wonderful words that mean so much to us now as Christians because of the Lion of Judah, because of the fulfillment of these words in Jesus. Judah, your brothers will praise you, it says. Like a lion, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. That was a blessing put upon the tribe, upon Judah, the man, and ultimately upon the tribe of Judah, but it finds its fulfillment in our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's his tribe. That's him. That's a fulfillment in him. It's not just Jacob. We've got the blessings of others, like the blessings of Moses. And one I find very precious, because I've got a son called Benjamin, it's found in Deuteronomy 33. Benjamin means son of my right hand. I've mentioned before, I'm not sure at the beginning whether that was like a clip around the ear, son of my right hand. But my son has been a great help to me, and trust he will continue to be. And these words that Moses speaks, this is actually now about the tribe, the whole tribe of Benjamin. But these are so precious. Let the beloved of the Lord, that's nice, rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. The picture of the lamb upon the back of the shepherd. That's wonderful. That's more than a bless you, isn't it? Achoo, bless you. That's something meaningful. That's something. Now, if that's what man to man can do, how much more the blessings of God and the truth that he speaks into our lives. So I take you back to Ascension Day. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. We're not told exactly how Jesus was blessing them, what he was saying. We know a little bit of the conversation about the timings on things that we read in Acts chapter 1. But in one sense, we don't need to know. We just need to remember that Jesus' life was a life of blessing, wasn't it? I mean, how many people were blessed by Jesus? I've never worked through the Gospels. Perhaps I could do this one day and just pick them all out. And they're only a small representation. There are certain days where Jesus just went on and on each day, healing everywhere and anywhere. A life of blessing. Yes, he blessed with his words, but he blessed with his power in the miracles that he performed. And he goes on blessing. I am speaking past tense, but I shouldn't be. I should be speaking present tense. I'm looking forward to the future tense as well. Think about the things that Jesus blessed. He blessed the breaking of bread and fish. And again, what happened? 5,000 were fed. Fulfillment and development came about because he blessed. Well, think about all those mums that were so keen with their children for Jesus to bless them. What was that about? Well, surely again, that the children might be all that they should be in the future. Fulfillment in life. Development. To be the best that they can be. Wasn't that what the mums were asking Jesus to do as he blessed and prayed over them? And then he took bread and he took wine, and having given thanks, he broke them. There's blessing there, isn't there? We don't have the table tonight, but you know the service, you know what we do. Again, that grace might be known through the bread and the wine. That's what it's about. That we might know, again, sins forgiven, and that the fullness, the fulfillment and development of our lives to be more like Jesus daily. Well, Jesus' life is a life of blessing. Read the Gospels through. Just see a trail of blessing everywhere he went. People rejoicing in what he had done. But of course, he didn't just come to live. He came to die and lay down his life for us. Jesus' death was a death that brought blessing. And that's, you know, that's strange, isn't it? In any other setting, death, that doesn't seem to be a blessing. A few months ago, I was at something on a Saturday up in London. It was about the life of Samson. And it was organized by Our Daily Bread. And it's an interesting study to study the life of Samson, and that's what was going on. And a verse was pointed out at the end of the life of Samson. He killed many more when he died than while he lived. And you think, okay. In other words, his death had a greater impact than his life. That's what's being said in that verse, Judges 16. And while the life of the Lord Jesus was wonderful in all the people it touched and affected one by one, you know, arguably the same is said of our Lord, isn't it? His death, when he died, had more impact even than his life, if that were possible. Through his life, there was that daily impact on so many, but his perfect sacrifice brought forgiveness of sins for all who believe. All who believe throughout all of history because of his death there on the cross. You and I, blessed, aren't we? Blessed eternally because of what he went through. And of course, Jesus' ascension led to Pentecost those days later, and the future blessings flowed out from it. You know, when you look at the other records of how Jesus ascended, and they're all a little bit, it's a bit piecemeal, to be honest with you. It's a bit here, it's a bit there. I mean, Mark's Gospel, for example, but by Mark's Gospel, they're just getting on with the work as the church, really. So he just says, he was taken up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Full stop. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. I mean, we would call that post-Pentecost. But it's just all together in Mark. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. The work has been done. The work is complete. And so the power, the blessing of power is given to the church. That was a future blessing that they were to receive, as we read in Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit empowered them. And it came out of the fact that Jesus had taken his rightful place at the Father's right hand. In Matthew, it speaks similarly, really, about the authority that Jesus has in heaven and on earth. And again, he sends them out to go and make disciples. And he promises them his presence. I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. And surely that is, again, another ascension blessing. The blessing of his presence as well as his power. Power to save, power for the work to go on, yes. Under his authority. But how precious to know he's with us in our homes, our workplaces, our community, wherever we are. The blessing of his presence. And I read Acts chapter 1 to you just to remind you as well of the blessing he spoke of his return. We must not lose sight of this. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Two men dressed in white said, "This same Jesus." Not different, not in any, this same Jesus. who shares our humanity, has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven, by the same means of transport, but this same Jesus. And it really just holds it all together for us, this event on Ascension Day. The blessing of his return. We have something to look forward to. Oh, we need that. But more than that, we have something to work towards. Something to get up for in the morning, because he's coming again. This same Jesus. This wonderful Savior we read about in the gospel accounts. We will see face to face. Oh, the glory of it. Now, as I say, if I've been speaking in the past tense, forgive me. Because the blessings of Jesus continue. That is the whole point of my message this evening. As he was blessing them, he was taken from them. And the point is, he continues to carry on blessing. Blessing from the right hand of the Father, in the intercession he makes for us. Blessing by his Holy Spirit, which has been poured out, is poured out amongst us. He's not stopped blessing his people, has he? Or did I miss the memo? Okay. He's still blessing us. Still blessing people out there, but they are, you know, not seeing it. But certainly we can stop and see it and know it, more importantly, in our hearts and lives. The blessings. The blessing that he gave in life, in death, and even on Ascension Day and into Pentecost, the blessings that flowed from that day. Well, that's all well and good, perhaps you're thinking, but you know, how does this involve us? Well, what are the consequences of his blessing? What are the consequences of it? It's very interesting that when Jesus went back to heaven, and what a mind-blowing thing that must have been to see and to try and comprehend, what does Luke tell us? Then they worshipped. With great joy, they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This transformed their lives. This filled them with joy. This just blessed their socks off. They were just so amazed. Praise flowed from their lives. To see what had happened was just an affirmation of what they'd believed already. But praise was on their lips, and they just wanted to praise the Lord wherever they were. Together, there was great joy in the temple courts, seeking after the Lord there in prayer. Praise and prayer come out of Ascension Day. When we really comprehend who it is that Jesus is, where he is, what he's done, and reflect upon that, I encourage you to do it on Thursday, but if you can't do it on Thursday, do it even now. And with praise in your heart and prayer, cry out to the Lord. It says they all joined together constantly in prayer in Acts chapter 1. Yes, they were waiting for Pentecost, and it's right that we should pray, and as we've been encouraged earlier, let's take this time to pray and pray for those who do not know the Lord yet. But let us praise the Lord for who he is. Let us join together, share our faith together as we pray together, praying constantly, joining together in prayer. And with the praise and the prayer ultimately came the power. Again, these are all consequences of the blessing of Jesus being at the Father's right hand. If he's anywhere else, we're in trouble. But thankfully, good news, church, he is at the right hand of the Father, seated, having done the work, but coming back from that place to us, is what it says, as he had left us that way, returning that way. Well, my time is gone this evening, but let me just move it on just a little bit more personally. in application. Blessings can and should be counted. Count your blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So start there. That's a good thing to do. That will help you in your praise and prayer. But more than that, church, blessings can and should be shared. Not just counted and put in a storeroom behind lock and key, but shared. Because when we are blessed of the Lord, we can pass it on. Perhaps to another believer who needs encouragement. Perhaps to a non-believer. So, well, this is what the Lord has done for me. This is what the Lord means to me. You never know. That might be the thing that just makes somebody think, well, it's a bit of testimony. Because when you think about blessing, God blesses everything in one sense, but us specifically, especially. But there is a kind of cycle of blessing. The blessing comes, and we bless the Lord for his blessing. But also we can pass the blessing on to others. I'll give you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Speaks about a God who comforts us. It's a precious thing to know the comfort of God in whatever the circumstance may be. But with that comfort, what do? Just store it away for a rainy day? No, so that we can comfort those with that comfort that we've received. The comfort we have received from God. There's a cycle. We're not to hoard it. Hoard the blessings of God, but to share those blessings forth with those around us. It does say that as Jesus ascended on Ascension Day, he was hidden from them. But we are not to hide him from the world, of course. We are to make him known. We are to bring blessing in his name. There's a lovely couple of lines within the hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Thee we would be always blessing, lifting up the name of the Lord. Serve thee as thy hosts above. And in that two lines you have it. Praising the Lord, blessing the Lord, but serving him. How? By serving him amongst others around us. The blessings we bring. We have a Lord and Saviour who blesses beyond measure. We honestly could be here till 3 weeks on Tuesday, just going around talking about all the blessings we've known in our lives. But don't worry, the service is nearly over. But as I've said, perhaps just focus on his life recorded in the Gospels. See the blessings there. Remind yourself of them. Focus on his death and remember the blessing there of sins forgiven. Eternal life in his name. Focus on his ascension and his enthronement and what we've been thinking about this evening. And the blessing then of the coming of the Holy Spirit, bringing his presence and his power to our lives. How blessed are you? Now, I know you can always say, well, you know, there's always somebody worse off. That's the argument people tend to use. But would you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed more than you are? I was thinking about Jacob wrestling for a blessing. I mean, would you go that far? It's a bit extreme. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Genesis 32. And it says, it was daybreak. Gone through the whole night. Then he blessed him there. Well, I take nothing away from Ebenezer. I would be quite happy to be called Ebenezer. I know in the Midlands, a church called Peniel, the face of God. Wow. They do have some glorious names, don't they? Churches, or they can do. But that's what's spoken of for Jacob. Yes, Jacob, the rogue, Jacob. Now, we said at the outset, and I say again, God's blessings are always for the development and fulfillment of the individual. His blessings are the best for you, and he knows best. Jacob limped after this, but he knew God's blessing, and that made the difference. That meant everything to him in that encounter. I wonder this evening, are you wanting your life to develop more for him? Perhaps you're just thinking, well, this is my lot. This is it. This is as good as it gets. Do you want to be fulfilled rather than half filled? Do you want to know that blessing? I know we've heard messages quite recently. David spoke recently on Jabez, didn't he? And the blessing of Jabez. But simply tonight, I just want to end by just pointing out, how about this for a prayer this week? Bless me, Lord, that I might be a blessing. I think we can all do that. Put your names on the list, pray for the people, but let's just go with that. The blessing. Bless me that I might be a blessing, Lord. And I believe you pray that with all your heart, you will be a blessing. And you will know God's blessing too. Amen. Lord, we close our service this evening simply asking for thy kingdom to come, thy will to be done in our lives, in our community, in our world. Lord, bring about that fulfillment and development in your children's lives. May we, through that fellowship with you in the days to come, Lord, know your best for us and indeed show your best to others in this needy world of ours. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Time will never be long enough to thank you for all you've blessed us with. May we continue to rejoice as we go from this place, even have to fellowship over a coffee. May we go from this place knowing, Lord, the joy and the peace, the praise, Lord, on our lips, the prayer from our hearts, that you might have the glory, honour and praise in everything. Bless you, Lord, for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.